The Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129 presents Just Love, a conversation on the Church's social mission with Monsignor Kevin Sullivan.
Welcome to Just Love. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is our weekly conversation about the Church in the world. Just love. Just love God. Just love your neighbor. Just love yourself. And our world will be more just and more compassionate. Well, we're into Lent. First week of Lent. A little confusing because the first week of Lent begins with Ash Wednesday, but the first Sunday of Lent is the first Sunday of Lent, and so the first week of Lent is after the first Sunday of Lent, so who knows, but we're into Lent. So we just had Ash Wednesday, and Ash Wednesday is, actually it's one of my favorite days. I like Ash Wednesday. I kind of have switched. I've gotten a little fickle now, because I used to like Advent as my favorite season of the year. Now I like Lent as my favorite season of the year. So I'm switching around. I'm switching up. I used to like Advent. Now I like Lent. So anyway, but we're into the season of Lent. And Lent is a very, very kind of important time. It is a time in which we get ready to celebrate the great mysteries of our faith, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And so there are certain practices that we undertake during Lent. And so today on the show, we're going to kind of explore some of those Lenten practices, but we're going to explore them in, I think, is a relatively kind of interesting way. We're going to talk with our first guest, Sherry Hayes Pierce, who is into social media. And so she is trying to help parishioners, churches, dioceses to engage people digitally. And so we're going to share with her, she's going to share with us how that we might kind of use social media to engage Catholics, especially during the season of Lent. And then I'll talk to you a little bit about a project that we're doing here on Just Love to make Lent great again. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. And then later in the show, we'll speak with Jackie Martin, who is a young woman who is a volunteer with the LaSalle Volunteer Corps. And so she's working in the Bronx at one of the senior citizens project there, the Fordham Bedford Housing Corporation, which is, you know, one of those organizations that has tried to develop their neighborhoods to make it a better place. And they've done some senior housing that's there. And she's going to share with us about the season of Lent as a lay volunteer. What is she going to do this Lent to connect closer to Jesus and to celebrate his passion and death during the great Triduum that we have? So thank you for joining us today on Just Love. Thanks for being with us. Tom, before we go to our first guest, do we have any news?
Sure, Monsignor. We are obviously in the first week of Lent, and as is the practice of Pope Francis, he tries to give people some advice, on maybe what some good practices would be that we could undertake during Lent. And actually, it was on the eve of last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, that in the publication Sneakers, which Monsignor is put out by homeless people who live in and around Rome. It's sort of like we used to have a street news here in New York that was published by homeless people. This is in Italy. And he gave an interview to them. And basically what Pope Francis said at that time was he said that giving to the needy during this Lent has to be a priority. And he challenged people who make excuses about giving money to the people they meet on the street. The Pope went on to say in this article that how money is spent, the people are asking them how the homeless people that they would give money to would spend their money. When he said that many people will then go ahead and spend the money they would have given on guilty pleasures instead of giving it to the poor. He said there's many excuses to justify why one does not lend a hand when asked by a person begging in the street. And he say some may say, if I give the money, he'll just spend it on a glass of wine. But then what Pope Francis said, it's
good. What's wrong with that?
Well, that's what the Pope said. The Pope basically said, it's good to give alms, even if the person to whom we give the money to spends it on buying himself a glass of wine, he said afterward. And then he admitted himself, he said in his life, one of the few pleasures he has is a glass of wine. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And he encouraged us to wind up doing the same. And he also went on later on in the article, Monsignor, to go and to challenge Christians in the developing or the developed world to reply to the global refugee crisis. He said that we should offer financial assistance to families who seek home in a new country as Lent begins. And also he put his money where his mouth is. He said basically how, as you may recall, he brought 13 people back from Lesbos with him when he went to go visit them back last April. And he said that the families are being housed in Rome. Many of these Syrians that he wound up bringing back, and many parishes around Rome had opened their doors to them. And in fact, those parishes where they didn't have a place for them to live in a rectory or a convent have started to pay rent for them. So he sort of was meeting his critics by saying he's kind of putting his money where his mouth is.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think it is very important. And I think what the Pope did is a critically, critically important symbol. And I think that is the one of the real values of Pope Francis. And the reason I say that is because I want to talk with our listeners a little bit, Tom, about some of those issues, because as he said, one of the things that we should be doing in Lent is helping the needy, helping people who are in need. Charity, almsgiving is one of the traditional three practices of Lent, and so it is an important part. However, and the however is, sometimes it's a little bit more complicated, and we got to figure out what the best way it is to help people. And we can always come up with excuses, and I think that's what the Pope was speaking about, how we can come up with excuses not to help people. On the other hand, I think we do need how to figure out how to help people in a way that really moves them forward and doesn't just make us feel good. And so I think the issue of homelessness, which is very critical in all parts of the world and particularly critical in the United States and in the New York metropolitan area, is a very, very difficult problem, and it needs a lot of different solutions to do it. There's nothing wrong with giving somebody on the street money so they might be able to buy a cup of coffee or a meal or something like that. But I think we need to realize it's not the only way that one could be charitable. And for somebody who chooses to maybe not give to somebody on the street and has another form of being charitable, well, let's make sure that we respect that as long as it is another act of charity to do this. Now, again, I'm going to do this Lent. What I have done for the past few Lents is to kind of symbolically make sure I pay attention to people on the street. I'm going to give a dollar to any person on the street who asks me for it. And what I've been amazed about in recent years is when I've done that, I've given away very, very little money. Mm. And so it's interesting, and we know that in many places, New York included, there is a growth of the homeless problem. But the reality is that, you know, there's some begging on the street without a doubt, but it's probably not as great as we think it is. It's still a problem that we have to address. So that's one of the things I'm going to do. So, Tom, why don't we go to our first guest?
Great.
Our first guest is works in social media, Sherry Hayes Pierce. And we're going to speak to her about how we do social media. How do we get the word out using social media? Sherry Hayes Pierce, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Monsignor, for having me. And let me also offer you a congratulations on your centennial anniversary with Catholic Charities.
Hey, thanks a lot.
The work that you do, you know, the work that you do to help the poor and the underserved is extraordinary. And I loved the quote that you used in the YouTube video that you created, Stories of Hope. And you said that your organization provides help and it creates hope. And that's just a great way to frame the work that you do. I think that that's essentially the power of social media. It's visual, it's short, it's to the point, and it's evocative. And just a little bit of background on social media. You know, it really started to really be a part of everyone's everyday life back in 2008. And about 24% of the population in the United States had a social media profile.
Currently,
and now today, And now today we have 78% of the population has at least one social media platform.
Okay. So that's like about an 8-year period where there's been a tremendous amount of growth.
Yes. And, you know, they do a lot of analogies so people get social media. When I first started teaching social media, sadly, I have to say, I didn't even have a Facebook page myself, so I have to catch up before I started teaching it. You know, it took over 50 years for everyone to have a television in their home. So if you compare that medium to social media, the short period of time, it's just grown exponentially. So you just can't ignore the possibility that social media provides for the church and for businesses and other entities to communicate. I mean, need I say, our president is using social media.
So Sherry, for our listeners, you know, social media, internet, stuff like that, it clearly is intergenerational, and it's not just for young people. Everybody does it. But the reality is that, you know, there are generational issues. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you're speaking to somebody who maybe was born a lot before 2008, how would you describe in a simple way what social media is?
Social media, quite simply, is a communication portal. That's what it is. It allows people to communicate via their cell phones or their laptop computers to a group of people that are following them or not. You talk about people who were born, you know, before 2008. I just want to give you some staggering stats. You know, the Pope has social media pages. You do know that, yes?
Yeah.
The Pope currently has, on Twitter, 10.4 million people following him. 10.4 million. And on his Instagram...
Yeah, but they want to get to heaven. They figure if they follow the Pope, they're getting indulgence and they get into heaven. I'm not impressed. Not impressed. But anyway, all right, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say... It's not because of that that people are following him.
I don't know. Did you do a survey? Did you do a survey? You asked them all?
I did not ask them all. But the nature of social media audiences is that you have to share interesting and evocative content for them to follow you. And, I mean, his Instagram page is just absolutely beautiful because the nature of Instagram is that you just share pictures.
Yeah.
So they have just beautiful pictures of him just being himself, you know, being with the poor, being with the infirmed, saying mass, praying, and all of that is just really touching for a lot of people. And so here he is, someone who was born way after 2008. And then I have to say, our pastor at my own parish, American Martyrs Catholic Community in Manhattan Beach, he's about to be 80, and he has a YouTube channel that he does a daily minute message. We call it Monsignor's Minute. And it's our most popular piece of content that we place on our social media pages for our parish.
Well, you know, we're speaking with Sherry Hayes Pierce, who is a social media expert, and talking about how various people use social media. Sherry, to get our listeners, you mentioned YouTube, you mentioned Instagram, you mentioned Twitter. Give our listeners a sense. What if you had to name kind of the top 10 social media platforms or portals, what would they be?
Well, number one is going to be Facebook, because Facebook has 1.59 billion people who are actively using the platform.
Did you know there is there's approximately 1.6 billion Catholics in the world?
Yes, I know that.
So
China.
There must be 100,000 Catholics that are not on Facebook then.
Possibly. keep in mind, Facebook is worldwide.
Right.
So that number represents the entire world, not just the United States or
right.
or any other right. entity.
Right.
But if you did a search, and I've done this before, depending on where you are in the country, you can see how many Catholics are there, because I will actually craft some of my posts. Like if I'm presenting around the country,
right.
I'll send a message out to that specific area, and I'm like, oh, 500,000,
okay.
a million too. So, yeah.
Okay. So
and then the second one that would be the most popular, and this is where we really have an opportunity to reach our young people,
right.
and that's Instagram.
Okay.
And that's Instagram. And then Twitter.
Okay. Okay. So those are probably the three top ones at the moment?
Yes.
Now, I hear it said Facebook's getting blasé, that it's like when too many old people use Facebook, the kids don't want to use it anymore. I don't know. Listen, all I'm doing is passing on the information, and I want to get some feedback from an expert.
Well, yeah, that's kind of true. It's like
okay.
the younger kids, they're just posting. If they have a Facebook profile, they're posting the squeaky clean stuff that grandma's going to see on that page. The real stuff is on Instagram and on Snapchat.
Ah.
So
now Snapchat,
yeah.
that's the one that's like there for 14 seconds and then disappears or something like that?
Well, it's more than 13 seconds now.
Okay.
But it's basically, you can set different hours,
okay.
but it's gone within 24 hours. So it has changed a lot. When I first started working with the church, especially the Archdiocese of Seattle, they did not want to touch Snapchat because it had a really bad reputation of kids doing, let's say, impure things on the platform, thinking that it would just disappear in a couple of seconds and they didn't have to worry about it. And the platform has since really cracked down on that kind of behavior. So, in fact, Disney signed a deal with Snapchat a couple of weeks ago. So it's really starting to gain more prominence with a lot of companies and younger people. So.
Now, again, if one were to look at the landscape, it would be fair to assume that a lot of people, maybe even most people, are on more than one of those platforms.
Absolutely.
So,
just by nature of each one being different, you share different things on the different platforms.
So if you were kind of, you're working with a parish, you're working with a diocese, since I work at Catholic Charities, what do you recommend in terms of how they think about and how they structure their kind of social media outreach?
Well, the first thing I always share is to create a plan. You want to figure out at least 30 days out what you're going to post each day on your social media platforms. You shouldn't wake up in the morning and roll into the office and go, oh, today's Ash Wednesday. Let me find something that I can post for Ash Wednesday. You should have figured out what you're going to post 30 days out. That's my number one tip to every parish, every archdiocese that I work with.
Okay, that seems to make sense.
And then the other thing is, what I have found is there are five things that parishes should post that will spark engagement. So number one, to share things from the Pope. Whatever you share from the Pope onto your pages always gets engagement.
Hmm.
Your priest and your deacon. Number two, a daily inspirational message, like we have our Monsignor Minutes at American Martyrs. Number three, parish behind the scenes. So I heard you say that you used to really love Lent, but now you really love Lent instead.
Right.
One of the cool things behind the scenes is our liturgical environment and how much time it takes to put that together. And I love how the vestment colors change for the priest in the different seasons.
Okay.
So that's a great thing to show how they're prepared by the altar society, etc. Number four, the saints. You can find posts for the saints, and my go-to is Bishop Aaron with Word on Fire. They create the most beautiful post for the saints, and I just go to his page and I just share them onto my pages. And then last but certainly not least, sharing what's going on in your parish and your outer community. So those are my five tips that I suggest to everyone. Do 30 days and then put your content in those different boxes so that you know what you need to shoot, what you need to capture, so that you have it ready to plan it and post. And that's the other thing. There's a tool where you can schedule all your posts ahead of time.
Wow. Okay.
It's done.
So to me, that seems to be a great suggestion and seems to me to be right on target. I assume, though, that there are times when you want to post stuff that is quote unquote breaking news. And so you can't do it 30 days out. You may need to do it in the next, you know, couple of hours.
Correct.
And
there've been a couple of instances that we've had that. And there again is another wonderful reason why we should pay more attention to our social media. When there was the shooting in Florida last year, I wanted to post something on our pages, but I didn't want to create something myself. I just wanted to share something from somewhere else. So I went to the USDCB's Facebook page to see if they had anything, and I went to their Twitter account. But then I thought, hey, why don't I just go to Florida, do a Google search of who their bishop is or archbishop, and see if there's anything from him. And within an hour of it happening, they had already posted something on their Facebook page asking for prayer for the family. And so I was able to share that, which gave it a lot more gravitas than if I created something myself.
Right.
And so lots of times, someone will create a post for you if you just look at what's trending for news, and you can just share that so you're not really stressed out. I think that it's a great tool for breaking news situations like that, and it's even upgraded itself in the last couple of years, Facebook I'm speaking of, where if there's some sort of tragedy or weather-related incident, like a tornado or something, a person can check themselves in as safe so that everyone who's following them on Facebook gets a notification that they're okay.
Okay. All right. Hey, well, listen, thank you so much, Sherry Hayes Pierce, who is a social media consultant who has come up with some really clear ideas and tips for how parishes, dioceses can use social media to get out their message. And, you know, it being Lent, there's not a better time than to get out a message. Are you doing anything special for Lent?
I am. I am working with a lot of parishes, and I'm really promoting what the USCCB is saying for Lent this year. And they're saying that we should not just give up something, but we should lift someone up in prayer, and that we should also take up a cause or take up a cross of another who's suffering during this season. We're also doing what we always do for Lent as Catholics, and we have our Lenten Friday tradition. So we're doing some posts from some of the parishioners of their recipes. And we're posting those on our pages to share with people. I'm also going to do a real funny one. What is your most disliked Lenten meal? I had a grandmother, I kid you not, who used to make egg stew for Lent. So that's my number one.
Okay.
And we're also for Holy Week. I'm not sure, but I know in the diocese here in Southern California, there's always a chrism mass the Monday of Holy Week. And many of the parishes now are taking that mass live on their social media because there's live streaming. So that's one of the things we've already planned and worked with our archdiocese to make sure that we have that link ahead of time so that we can post it. We are also doing some interviews with some of the people who will have their feet washed on Holy Thursday. We also have a great tradition at our parish that we do a Way of the Cross pageant in the church, and we've been doing it for 30 years. So we're going to try and bring all the people back who've been Jesus and Mary and Pontius Pilate through the years at that mass. So based on what your culture of your parish is, there may be some specific things that you do every year that you can make post out of and share it with the community. It's a wonderful time also to remind people how important it is for you to know that Lent is about making changes in yourself, in your community, and growing your relationship with Christ. And so we're also following the pages of people like Bishop Barron, who have great gospel messages. Our own pastor is creating specific messages during Lent. And then I also am a huge fan of Dynamic Catholic. Are you familiar with Dynamic Catholic?
No, it's not dynamic enough to get to me.
Dynamic Catholic does wonderful work on behalf of the church, and they have created a wonderful series of videos, and it's called The Best Lent Ever. So if you just go and Google Best Lent Ever, you can sign up for those daily video messages. That kind of falls in line with your Make Lent Great Again.
Yep.
With the Best Lent Ever. And they're very well done. The Dynamic Catholic Institute was created by Matthew Kelly. Do you know who Matthew Kelly is?
Nope.
He wrote the book, Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic. And
I guess he likes the word dynamic.
Yes, he does. And I was been inspired by him to work with churches. He put out this stat, I want to say 2 years ago, that 30 million Americans have left the Catholic Church in the last 20 years. And he broke it down to say that's 4,109 every day, 171 every hour, and 3 every minute over the last 20 years. And that saddens me. And so I am just a huge proponent that however we can reach our Catholics and our fallen away Catholics, we have to try. And social media does that. And I hope that more and more parishes will look to this as a communication portal.
So, Sherry, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. And I think you're certainly moving in the right direction, that we kind of really have to take advantage of all of the different portals in order to kind of get the word out and to kind of revitalize and to make more dynamic our parishes and our community of faith. So, Sherry, thank you so much for being with us on Just Love, and the best of love in your work. Sherry Hayes Pierce is a social media consultant who advises parishes, dioceses, how to get the word out through social media to bring people to Christ and to make more dynamic our Catholic faith and our Catholic communities of faith. So, we're going to take a break now, and when we come back, join us when we come back on Just Love, the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself, and our world will be more just and more compassionate. Well, we're in the first week of Lent, and we are speaking about one of those things that we should be doing to try to make this a real season of preparation for the great mystery of the death, the resurrection of Jesus. We spoke a little bit about how we get the message out through social media, and now we're going to speak with Jackie Martin, who is a volunteer with the LaSalle Associates, and she's working in the Bronx in a senior citizen program, Servium Gardens. Jackie Martin, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So give our listeners a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about your background and kind of how you got to where what you're doing and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I grew up Catholic. I went to a Catholic K to 8 school. So that's where I kind of got like a lot of my foundation in the faith. And then I decided to go to St. Mary's College of California. And it was a little science school, which is run by the De La Salle Christian Brothers.
Okay.
And it was there where I kind of found my like my own perspective on the faith and focusing on like service. And it was through going to that school that I decided to join the La Salle Volunteers and do 2 years of a faith-based service program.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much. You know, in this day and age when, you know, people are sometimes really very eager to get into their careers, whatever they are, and they don't want to take any time, and they're kind of really very, very dedicated to kind of moving ahead as quickly as possible. I just want to say kind of a word of congratulations and thanks to you and appreciation that you kind of have taken a little bit of time to, you know, be helpful, to give back, to volunteer, to do some good. So I just want to say thank you for doing that, Jackie.
Thank you.
So tell us, what are you doing? What are you doing? And now, to our listeners throughout the country, Jackie is working in a part of New York City, the Bronx. And so I know a little bit about the Bronx, and I know a little bit about, you know, the housing that you're working in. But Jackie, give our listeners a sense of where you're working and what the program you're working with is, and then what you're doing at that program.
Yeah, so I work at Servium Gardens. So it's a low-income senior housing project, but we're part of a bigger nonprofit organization, Ford and Bedford Housing Corporation. And so they've been around for a long time in the Northwest Bronx, trying to build up affordable housing for the people that live here, that are from here. So the building that I work at, Servium, there's about 300 residents that live here. And we have security to try to make sure that all the residents are safe here. And we provide a lot of social services. So if they need help with like food stamp applications or different benefit programs, we help them with that, with their Section 8 recertifications. And my job specifically, I'm the program coordinator. So I'm sort of in charge of building community among them. I plan events and trips and parties for them. Yesterday we had a Mardi Gras party. They had a lot of fun dancing with the DJ. So my job's kind of different from day to day, but it's really nice to be able to build relationships with the seniors that.
So a good Mardi Gras party?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, yeah.
Did any of them stay out too late and you had to kind of bring them back in?
No, I don't. They mostly went back to their rooms. After,
okay,
yeah.
That's great. So you now. Excuse me, Jackie. So tell us a little bit about some of the other activities that you are kind of doing with the seniors who are there.
Yeah, so we have like weekly activities. So we have yoga classes once a week. We have like bingo and dominoes once a week, or every day actually during the week. And so we have some of an arts and crafts program, painting classes. So there's more regular activities. So a lot of those people kind of have become friends and build community around those activities. A lot of them talk about how the arts and crafts and the painting are very therapeutic for them, and they get a lot out of the yoga class. It makes them feel better. So having those regular activities is definitely beneficial for them in multiple ways. And then we have like those big parties and celebrations when there's holidays. So next month we're going to be having a St. Patrick's party. We do like movie nights. And then we take them on trips to like more affordable grocery stores. Sometimes the corner shops around by where we are sort of expensive or don't have that many healthy options. So we take them to healthy grocery stores or to the mall or like other fun trips. So we really do a variety.
So we're speaking with Jackie Martin, who is a Wesalian volunteer working at a senior citizen housing apartment house in the Bronx. Again, for the sake of our listeners, the senior housing that we're talking about is not a nursing home, and it's not a place where there are people who are, you know, need a lot of medical care. They're elderly, so they do need some medical care. But this is just it's a housing place. It's their own home,
independent living,
right? And they go out on their own, and they, you know, I assume they're responsible for their own meals and cooking and those things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
But your job is to kind of try to create a little bit of a sense of community with the regular activities and the special activities to help them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, kind of make it more of a home.
Right. And so, Jackie, so now let's move a little bit because this is Ash Wednesday. And so what are you doing for? How do you look at Lent and how the way you look at Lent, has that changed in over the years?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, growing up, it would be like, oh, I'm going to give up like candy or like something like, I don't know, something sort of like trivial. And I feel like a lot of the times I didn't completely understand like why I was doing it or there wasn't like anything behind it. But I do remember growing up in Catholic school, one of my teachers, Mrs. Oliva, she taught religion and she would tell us like try to give up something for Lent that you would want to keep trying to give up even after that. So do something that's going to help you become like a better person or deepen your connection with God, not just do something like random for right now. So I feel like I've definitely tried to work on that this year. I've decided that I want to try to give up plastic, even though it's almost impossible to do completely just by the way that our like culture and society is. I'm going to try to do my best to not purchase or any plastic products. And then also try to like educate myself more on like environmental issues, maybe donate to like a charity that has to do with, you know, like cleaning up the oceans or something. So that's sort of what I'm thinking about doing for my Lent.
Okay. So that's, so those are some of the things that, that you're looking at. And that's kind of, how are you finding it, hard, easy to kind of give up plastic?
A little bit difficult because there's some things that you really like can't change, especially I feel like in the workplace, like the phone I'm calling on right now is made of plastic or your computer, like things like that. It's hard to find alternatives, but I think finding the ways where you can get alternatives, like getting bamboo toothbrushes. I ordered some online. They cost like $20 for a pack of four and that's for the whole year. So if you like take the time to kind of, I guess, research and put the effort into it, then it's definitely possible. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I don't know this. So you tell me, if you bought a regular plastic toothbrush, how much would it cost?
I don't know. Maybe like a couple dollars. I'm sure you can get them at like the dollar store. But
okay.
But to me, it's like, you know, $20 over the course of the whole year, if that's something that, you know, you care about, then, you know, budgeting for that. And I mean, I'm doing that as a volunteer living on a stipend, so I think, like, you know, it's possible for people to fit into their daily routine.
Now I gotta tell you, Jackie, you educated me because I didn't even know, well, I guess I never even thought about it, that a toothbrush probably was plastic. If I thought about it, I might have gotten that, but I didn't even know there was such a thing as bamboo toothbrushes.
Yeah, they have a few different websites, yeah.
Oh, that is...
Yeah, and it's like, you kind of don't notice it because it's everywhere. So that's why I'm trying to, like, you know, educate myself and get myself to be more aware of that.
That's wonderful. That's great. Anything else you're thinking about and trying to look at for Lent?
Yeah, I'm also trying to do, like, daily meditation. I've kind of done meditation sort of sporadically. There was a Christian brother at St. Mary's, and he taught a meditation class. So I want to try to get back into that every day so I can kind of, you know, focus more and like focus on listening to God and just being in his presence instead of like, you know, it's hard to do that sometimes when you're running around day to day and you don't make time for that. So I'm going to try to carve out time each day to do that.
That sounds really good. So those are two pretty good things to do. Sometimes what I find is if you're looking for, you know, time to pray or something, you almost have to say, okay, I'm either going to do it first thing in the morning when I get up because I know I can have the time, or I'm going to do it at night before I go to bed, so that you kind of can create a little bit of rhythm for it.
Yeah, or put it in your Google Calendar.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And then figure that out. So are you liking the work you're doing?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. Since my second year is coming towards an end, I've been thinking more about, like, you know, finishing up my time here and, like, leaving. And it's definitely going to be really difficult to say goodbye to the seniors. They get used to, like, having us around. And they're always like, oh, like, why do you guys always have to leave? But it'll definitely be.
And what are you thinking about doing when you leave?
So I've been accepted to 4 universities for LaSalle colleges for a master's in, they're all a little bit different, but a master's in organizational leadership for social justice nonprofit work.
Great.
That's what I haven't decided which one yet, but I'm hoping to.
What are the places you're looking at?
St. Mary's, where I went to undergraduate.
That's
in California,
right?
Okay. Yeah, Lewis University. Manhattan College and LaSalle University in Philadelphia.
Okay, well, those are good choices. Yeah. So I'm glad you got some good possibilities coming up. So
yeah, the LaSalle Volunteer Program. If you spend 2 years as a volunteer, you're eligible for a scholarship, a tuition remission program at any of the LaSalle colleges. So I'm trying to. I'm also applying for the scholarship.
Okay, well, I'm going to lobby that you stay in New York. That you stay in New York because we need good people in New York, and so go to Manhattan College because that's that way you'll be still doing good in New York. And we need good people. And we take people from all over the country. We take people from all over the world to make New York a better place. So
it's so beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, Jackie, thank you so much for being with us. Jackie Martin, Osalian volunteer working at Servium Gardens with Ford and Bedford Housing Corporation in the Bronx. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more news, and we'll talk a little bit more about Lent. I'm Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. This is Just Love. Just do it. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, and our world will be more just, and it will be more compassionate. Join us when we come back on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Welcome back to Just Love. This is Monsignor Kevin Sullivan. Our weekly conversation about the church and the world. Just love God, just love your neighbor, just love yourself. And our world will be more just and it will be more compassionate. Well, we're in the first week of Lent and we're kind of beginning that time of the year in which we try to act a little bit more justly, a little bit more charitably, a little bit more prayerfully, a little bit more sacrificially in to prepare ourselves for the Easter season. I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. Tom, what other new stuff you got for us?
Well, you know what, Monsieur, this is not only the first week of Lent, and on March 1st, we didn't only celebrate Ash Wednesday, but it also is an anniversary. And it kind of ties in what we just were talking to Jackie about volunteerism. Back 57 years ago, on March 1st, 1961, President Kennedy issued an executive order that established the Peace Corps. And backed by a Democratic Congress, President Kennedy at that time provided what was $40 million, or today what is $1.2 billion in dollars today as an annual appropriation. And the reason that he established the Peace Corps is he said that the United States needed to create an army, in his words, a force that would be made up of civilians who would volunteer their time and skills to help underdeveloped nations raise living standards. And he had said that our freedom, this is the president talking at that time, and the future freedom around the world depended in a very real sense on the United States' ability to build growing and interdependent nations where men and women can live in dignity, liberated from the bonds of hunger, ignorance, and poverty. We should remember that was the post-colonial period in Africa and Southeast Asia. So I think a lot of people were concerned that that was going to be drawn into the Cold War. And over the 60s, 70s, and 80s, thousands of Americans, particularly the young, served in dozens of Latin American countries in Asia, Africa, and the Middle East. And they did things like build sewer systems and build water systems. They taught schools, assisted the developing in new crops and agriculture. So I think, you know, we have to remember some of the good news months here, and that's some of the good news. I think that, you know, the Peace Corps was established and still continues to this day.
And how many people are in it nowadays?
I think I don't have that exact number for, there, Monsignor, but I think it would be probably somewhere, certainly, I'm sure, in the thousands, I mean, who were deployed across the world, I'm sure.
So we now have begun Lent. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit of my little bit of a complaint. Now, I told you that Lent is now has surpassed Advent as my favorite season. But it's a little bit anemic in my opinion. A lot of people, you know, may not even know that it's happening anymore. And the things that we're supposed to do to fast for the season of Lent are pretty easy, quite frankly. I mean, because the basic rules are that on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, you have to fast a little bit, and it really is a little fasting because you can have one big meal and then you have two small meals. So that's not a big deal. I mean, it's just that, and you can't eat meats. But I mean, so you know, I've said this with a little bit of whatever. I mean, you could have I could give you a menu where you got up in the morning and you had cereal, juice, and coffee. And then for lunch, you had a tuna fish sandwich and you had a Coke and maybe some potato chips, okay? Mm-hmm. And then for dinner, you could have a clam chowder. Mm-hmm. You could have a kale salad. You have chili and sea bass. You could have rice pilaf. You could have broccoli. You could have wine. You could have bread. You could have tiramisu and espresso. And you would have complied with the rules for fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday because no meat in that whole meal.
That's right.
And one big meal and the two other meals, which don't equal that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big meal. And like, so you have a little cereal, you have a little sandwich, and that doesn't equal the big meal.
That's right.
And you've complied. Now, that's wussy.
I agree, really, when you put it that way, it really is wussy.
So that's just my example. That's why I'm on my campaign, hashtag Make Late Lent Great Again 2017. At our Just Love blog, we can follow that. I want people to follow that on Twitter. And it's a 3-step 40-day formula for Lenten greatness. And the 3-step formula is really, really simple. Hang with God, discipline myself, and help others. That's the formula. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, let me give you a little hint. So, I mean, we sometimes talk about, and I've mentioned it before, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So that's what we got. So praying is hanging with God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that you got to do the hanging with God. That's part of the formula. And you got to do a little sacrifice. You got to do a little fasting. That's disciplining myself. Mm-hmm. I got to kind of, you know, make myself a little bit less dependent on some of those things and discipline myself so that I'm kind of ready to be in a better shape to kind of get closer to Jesus. And the third thing is, we talk about almsgiving, we talk about helping people, so it's helping others. And so that's my three-step formula for the 40 days of Lent to make Lent great again. And I think if we do those things, that within Lent becomes great, and we become renewed and we're ready to celebrate the Paschal mystery. So we got to hang out with God. We got to discipline ourselves. We got to help others. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out a daily self-help tip as to how you can do that. And the self-help tips will relate to either praying, or they might relate to sacrifice, disciplining myself, or helping others. So we'll get tips in each of those areas. And then if we all do this by the end of us, we'll be greater. Lent will be, it'll be a great Lent. And if you don't have a Twitter account and you don't want to follow me at Just Love Blog on Twitter, you can sign up for the Just Love Blog, which is www.justloveblog.org. So there are a lot of ways to get those daily tips, and we're going to include the readings for each day on those. And I'm going to share one other thing. Okay, this is my own little thing, which I think is really important. You know, I get a little concerned about some of the ways of things are going on in our world, and some of the ways that religions are not helping each other in different ways. And there's a lot of anti-religious sentiment, and there's fighting between religions. So what I'm going to do for the fast days of Lent, I think I'm going to adopt a modified version of what our Muslim brothers and sisters do during Ramadan. Hmm. Because their fasting, I think, is a little bit more in line with a stricter Catholic fast. So basically it is, you don't eat from sun up to sundown. You'd have early breakfast and you'd have later dinner, but during the daylight hours, you don't eat. Now I'm going to do a little modification, so because you're not supposed to have water. But I don't think that's so good. So I'm going to do water. But I think it shows a little solidarity with our Muslim brothers and sisters, and it's a little bit more rigorous. So let's all make late Lent great again, 2017. Hashtag make Lent great again, 2017. And follow it on Twitter at Just Love Blog. Thank you for being with us. This is Just Love, Monsignor Kevin Sullivan, The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Listening to The Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.